Ramsey TV.
Thank you, folks, for indulging me on this running stuff. One more day of it, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore until some other crazy thing happens. But there are some life lessons here, and soon, like this show, I'm going to tell you about what happened on Saturday at the beginning of the day at around 4:45 a.m. at the beginning of my 43.3 mile run. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to tell you a lot about me, and there's a great life lesson in it. By the way, this is Martin Zender. Welcome to the show. So, the reason I'm interested in talking about this is I like the idea of self-propulsion. I like the idea of the human body transporting itself from point A to point B. This used to be the way people traveled. And my case is interesting because, you see, I am not a world-class athlete. I'm not even a national-class athlete. I'm not even a local athlete. I do not have a runner's body. I've never won a race. The only thing I like about it these days is when it involves traveling. I'm a guy, and you're the same way. We're going through life. And it makes it easier to do things, to endure things, if we know they're on the path, if we know that it's part of our journey. As recently as a year and a half ago, I hated running. I hated it. Because I had begun to treat it like a workout. I've never been one who was able to just exercise to stay in shape. I'm going to stay in shape, going to exercise, go out for a workout. I dreaded it. I hated it. I look at my watch, oh crap, time to work out. What switched everything around for me, and I hope this helps somebody out there, is when I started treating running not, and this applies to walking, it applies to bicycling, it applies to swimming, any sort of thing you do that ultimately is good for you, body and soul, helps you burn calories, keeps you fit, things like that. The mistake is to treat these things as workouts. Then it's a chore. Then it's a dread. But if you treat it as life, as just part of your life, then it's much easier to swallow. So I was never one of these guys to like, well, yeah, I was for a while, to do a big race, get ready to run a big race, and then kill yourself, and then, you know, for the next week, lick your wounds, try to recover. I like to incorporate running into my life. And it doesn't mean a workout. For instance, when I worked at the hospital back in the early 80s, I used to run to work. So running was practical. It wasn't a workout. I was getting to work. See? And so I would just put on a backpack with my hospital clothes, trot, 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 trot down the road at 6 a.m., get to the hospital, and then trot, 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 trot back. And I got 6 miles a day in by accident. By accident. Not even trying to run 6 miles a day. It was part of my life, you see. And if you look at ancient cultures, let's just talk now about the Bible days, people in that culture. But anybody during the early centuries up until, you know, mid-1800s, people walked. They walked. And let me ask you this. I picture Jesus and his disciples, say, walking from Nazareth to Jerusalem, and they're heading for the feast. And they walked everywhere, so it was just a natural part of their day. Grandma walked. The average biblical day's journey, I researched this, of course, was 24 miles. Anytime people went anywhere, it was normal. It was expected. It was like, no big deal, to walk 24 miles per day. Grandma could walk 24 miles a day. Nobody went around saying, hey, guess what I did? I walked 24 miles today. It's like, yeah, so did my great-grandmother, you know, so it's not a big deal. See, that's where I am. But it is a big deal because of the life lesson. It is a big deal because of how much I hated this just a year and a half ago. And it is a big deal what the human body can do when you don't put this performance template over it. You don't put a filter of, let's get this done, get her done over it. And you're just living, you're just breathing, you're just moving through life. Now, back to Jesus and the disciples heading to Jerusalem for Passover from Nazareth. So let me ask you this. What did they do when they were in a hurry? Well, if they were in a hurry, they trotted. They would walk fast, and then if they were really in a hurry, Peter looks at his watch. Holy crap! We got to get there, boys. They would trot. And since they weren't worried about their Facebook pages or how many likes they had on their YouTube channel or if they got any texts, they thought about their bodies. They thought about how to run properly. But I take that all back, because since they weren't wearing Nike shoes or New Balance or Asics or Reeboks or all these uber padded psychedelic crazy shoes, they naturally did things the right way. I've talked about that a lot because I'm really interested in the natural way that the body works. So it was not unusual to see them trotting down the road. So again, what inspired me is to think of running not as a workout, but as an adventure. I wasn't going out for a workout. I was going out to see what was going to happen as I let my body go through the neighborhood. It's kind of hard to do because I'm on the same route every day. That's why this idea to run somewhere, to do a trip, it's always been much easier for me to think of exercise in the context of a trip. Of a trip, yes. It changes everything. It changes everything. It's no longer this workout. It's like, yeah, I'm going to Lake Worth, Florida. How far is it from Fort Lauderdale? 43.3 miles. How am I going to get there? I'm going to run there. It's a very low-key thing. So, if it helps you, and this is why these other kinds of exercises, like you see people jumping up and down on benches, even people lifting weights, you see people doing the aerobics classes or doing these moves. I mean, can you picture anybody in the Bible days or any century past doing these things? Having giant balls that they did ab crunches on? No, of course not. Because living was enough to keep you fit. You had to build stuff, you had to move stuff, you had to plant stuff. You went from point A to point B under your own power. And so you didn't give a second thought to, gee, I got to get a workout in or I'm going to die of heart disease or something like that. So the challenge is to incorporate that mindset into the modern day. So when I'm running from Fort Lauderdale to Lake Worth, Florida, I might as well be running from Nazareth to Jerusalem. I'm on a trip. Let me tell you about one breakthrough. This will help you, I think. And then I'm going to tell you my story. And you're going to laugh. And you're going to say, yeah, that's Sender, but you're going to get the life story. When I started thinking of running as part of my life and not a workout, I mean, this was my resurgence. I'd gone a long time. I used to run a lot. And then I didn't run at all. So I was starting up again. This was maybe 6, 7, 8 months ago. And I'm heading north from my house, and after a half mile, I'm exhausted. I'm like, God, this sucks. Why am I even doing this? A half mile. And then I realized, wait a minute, if you're tired, what do you do in life when you're tired? You sit down. But part of my training was telling me, you don't sit down when you're on a 8-mile run or you're trying to accomplish an 8-mile run or a 5-mile run or a 6-mile walk, whatever you do. You don't sit down. You have a certain standard you have to keep. And if somebody sees you, you know, sloughing off or taking it easy, then no, that is all out the window. When you're tired, you stop. So after only 10 minutes of being on my workout, which was not a workout anymore, I just sat down on this. I just sat down, right? Just off the sidewalk. I just sat down. And this revelation washed over me. This is life. When you're tired, you stop. And then after 5 minutes, I got back up. I was refreshed. And I ran for a little bit more. Maybe I went another... I did. This is exactly what happened. I went another mile. And I was tired again. Instead of condemning myself, I just said, I'm going to sit down again. It doesn't matter. If it takes me 4 hours to do this 8 miles, so be it. Who cares? At the bottom of the bridge, I stopped at the Speedway station, and I got a Snickers bar. And I was just do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I was living my life. It's part of my day. It's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, it's breakthrough stuff because you're no longer doing workouts. Walking is a great exercise. Anybody out there, I encourage you, just get out and walk. Body mechanics is everything. If you want to know about the body mechanics, that changed everything also for me. I don't work anymore at it. Yeah. Oh, I just love this topic so much, but a lot of you are going, okay, Xander, enough, and then I get back to the scriptures. Oh, a great thing happened today on my morning run. I'm going to show you. I saw this thing on the sidewalk, and it was a turtle, but it wasn't a real turtle. It was a toy turtle. It was very small. And I just, as I was going past, I tried to kick it. I don't know why. I love turtles. I have nothing against turtles. I just wanted to kick this turtle just to see how far it would go. I tried to kick it and I missed. Yeah, I missed the turtle. This isn't the story. So I missed the turtle. But I took 3 more steps and something about how that thing looked reminded me of maybe something I had when I was a kid. I said, oh my gosh, I need to have that thing. If that's what I think it is, I got to have it. So I turned around, went back, and sure enough, I picked it up, and it was like this spongy, rubbery thing, and it was a turtle, and it was spongy, and it was rubbery, and it made me so happy, but it was dirty. Here's a picture of it. Here's a picture of the thing. I took this picture of it on one of my breaks. Look at this thing. And I brought it home, and I cleaned it. I'm going to show it to you now. I named him Carl, and I'm so happy with this thing. It was so beautiful to find this on my run. This is him now. Look at this. I cleaned him up. There he is. Beautiful. He's got a little turtle. Look at it. He's got the whole turtle shell thing going on. Can you see that? Can't really see it with the lighting. But look at his eyes. He's kind of happy. He's kind of happy. And look at this thing. You can do this with his head. Watch. It's Carl. And I'm going to put him in a prominent place here in my cottage. Makes me very happy. So that's that. Thank you for indulging me on this. Okay. Saturday morning, 4:20 a.m. The night before the run, I was hanging out with Catherine and Manfred. And they said, well, what route are you going to take up to Lake Worth? I said, I'm going to take U.S. 1, just the whole way. I'm just going to take U.S. 1, Federal Highway, which goes from U.S. 1 goes from Key West to Bangor, Maine. I said, the reason I'm going to do that is because how can I get lost? You can't get lost. Yeah, right. That was like the person who said God himself couldn't sink this ship. Speaking of the Titanic. So, you saw the photo yesterday of me starting. It was dark. Yeah, there it is again. Okay. I'm trotting down 17th Street, enjoying the morning. It's quiet Saturday, not many people out. I get to Federal Highway, which is only a half mile away. I turn left on US 1. Here we go. I'm trotting along. And then, of course, I get to the tunnel. And there's a tunnel that goes under the New River. New isn't an adjective here. It's a proper name. It's the name of the river, the New River. It goes through Fort Lauderdale. So I've driven under the New River in this tunnel many times, but I'm thinking to myself, well, I can't run through this tunnel. I'm not allowed to run through this tunnel. I've never seen anybody running through this tunnel. So there's a little side road to my left, and I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to go down this little side road, and I've never noticed it, but there must be some kind of footbridge or something over the New River. So off I go, and it's a dead end. There's a railing there. I'm thinking, what the heck? So I come back out, and I cross one to go to the other side, and I notice there's another road. And I've seen this many times as I've driven past. There's another road, and in my mind, it said this way to Las Olas. It's like it's an alternate route. You don't have to take the bridge. You can take this alternate route. So I take this alternate route, and I'm trotting away, and it's another dead end. And so I said, well, there must be a way over the bridge without going through the tunnel for a pedestrian. There has to be. I get out my phone, my trusty GPS, and see, now I know how to read that little blue dot. That little blue dot that looks like there's a spray coming out of it. I always looked at that spray coming out of the blue dot, that location icon on maps. I always thought of that as a comet, where the tail is behind and the blue dot is in front. The blue dot is north. I never looked at it as a flashlight, that the spray is like a light and it's pointing north. Didn't know that. Now I do. So I'm looking at my GPS, trying to turn the right way. I go around this neighborhood trying to get out for 10 minutes. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. It's not light yet. It's like 4:45. This is crazy. I'm starting to get a little upset because I should be well along on, well, I should have a decent start on US 1. How am I getting lost in my own neighborhood practically? How is this happening? So I'm running around, not sure which direction I'm going in. I finally get back to 1. I come out and there's US 1. Great, finally. So I turn on US 1 and I'm running for 20, 25 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, it didn't register in my head that I hadn't crossed the New River. I just assumed that somehow I had crossed the New River. I was perfectly content. The thing is, see, I have my hat on, which is a long-brimmed hat, so it's over my eyes. I see the sign US 1. I'm on US 1. My attention is on the sidewalk to make sure I don't trip on a pothole, make sure I don't twist my ankle on a curb. I'm trotting along, and I suppose by this time it's 5 a.m. I smell barbecued ribs. Yeah, I smell barbecued ribs. And I think to myself, that smells just like Tom Jenkins' barbecued ribs. There's only one Tom Jenkins' barbecued ribs. It's a landmark in Florida. People from all over the state come to Tom Jenkins for their barbecued ribs. And I'm thinking, okay, but and then out of my peripheral vision, I see the brown building with the wooden plaque with the yellow letters etched on the plaque that I know to be Tom Jenkins. I'm right next to Tom Jenkins. Strange thing is, why is Tom Jenkins on my left? Tom Jenkins shouldn't be on my left. If I'm heading north, Tom Jenkins should be on my right. I was completely puzzled, except, of course, I said, is there another Tom Jenkins on the other side of the road? Maybe there's a northbound and southbound Tom Jenkins. I just never noticed. At that time, there came an Asian man running up the road. Still pitch dark. My friend's pitch dark. The Asian man comes by. He's running. I say, good morning. Then I start to wonder, is it morning? Am I in some kind of twilight zone? Like, where am I? Mind you, I'm supposed to be like 2 miles down the road, and I'm going through this freaking neighborhood. Oh, while I'm running into these railings that don't let me go over the New River back in that neighborhood I was telling you about, I'm starting to get flustered. I'm starting to get upset. And what do you do when you're lost in your car? You speed up. You can't stand being lost. You just get nervous and you just speed up. So I was tempted just like to hurry up and run, get out of this, get out of this. But then I took a breath and I realized this. I said, listen, kid, calm down. Your goal is not to get to Fort Worth. Your goal is to put in 40 miles. That was my goal. So I don't care about Lake Worth, Fort Worth is in Texas. I salute you Texans. Don't care about Lake Worth, want to run 40 miles. That was my goal. So as I'm running through these neighborhoods, I told myself to calm down, relax. You're not place oriented here. You're not trying to get somewhere. You're trying to put in the distance, go the distance. So I thought, I'm making distance. I'm actually going toward my goal, even though I'm like a gerbil and on a wheel. So that calmed me down a little bit, thinking that, okay. I joked to myself, saying to myself, you might get your 40 miles in this frickin' neighborhood, okay? You might just never get out of this neighborhood, but if you run all day, if you run for 14 hours, you'll still get 40 miles in. You'll just be in some kind of twilight zone or some kind of matrix. I got 40 miles in my own neighborhood. And then I get at the end, I could helicopter out. I could call my friends, somebody rescue me. But anyway, but I did break out as I related to you. I'm on US 1. I'm running along. Tom Jenkins on my left shoulder, on my left elbow. What is this? Here comes the Asian man. I was very embarrassed to ask this question, but I did. I said, sir, good morning, sir. I said, oh, I hope it's morning. I don't even know by this point, not having any confidence in myself. I said, which way's north? As I asked the question, I looked that way. He said, that-a-way. Then it hit me. Of course, it kind of hit me before, but I was in denial. But now I realize I've been running 20 minutes or possibly 25 minutes in the wrong direction. I'm running back toward home. In three more blocks, I would have been back on 17th Street, completely oblivious, and I would have looked over and seen the Whole Foods and realized, what kind of idiot am I? Seriously, what kind of idiot am I? Am I this bad? Answer, yes, you are. So, I thank the kind sir. I had to go by faith with this guy because I still couldn't orient myself whatsoever. In my own neighborhood, on a road I've driven down hundreds, literally hundreds of times, around a bridge I'd gone under many, many times. So I turn around, go back the other way, and I see the buildings of Fort Lauderdale where I just spent 30 minutes before. And now they're in front of me again. I'm going back to the freaking bridge. This time I told myself, I'm just going to run through the tunnel. That's what I meant to say, the tunnel. I'm back at the tunnel. I'm going to run through the tunnel. I don't care if I'm allowed to or not. I'm going to do it. It's 5:10, 5:15 in the morning. Who's going to stop me? I'm just going to sprint through it, whatever. So I decided I'm going to run through the tunnel in the southbound side, because I like going facing the traffic so I can see what's going to kill me. See, that's the idea. As I get there, I see a sign. It's really beat up. It's all wrecked. But I can make out the words because I'm close to it. I'm like, what the heck can I say? You know what it says? It says, pedestrians, please use northbound pedestrian walkway. Pedestrian sidewalk? I cross one again, which I had done 40 minutes earlier. And then I saw the sign. Pedestrian walkway. And there's this beautiful little sidewalk that I'm sure I've seen 100 times, but never registered, obviously, with a nice little railing, nice generous sidewalk. And what I had missed the first time I got boxed out at the river, what I had missed on that northbound side before was a sign that said, perched at the front of the little road going off to the right, it said, no outlet. Ooh, that would have been helpful information for the little runner. No outlet. So, trot down the little sidewalk under the tunnel, come up, and I'm on US 1 heading north. Boy, oh boy, did I ever look. I didn't trust myself the rest of the run. Did not trust myself. I'm always looking to see US 1 north, US 1 north. Not long after that, I was still not dawn yet. I went into a 7-Eleven, and before I went into the 7-Eleven, I looked and I saw a PNC Bank, like, just right to the north of the 7-Eleven. And I'm telling myself as I go into the 7-Eleven, make sure you run past the PNC Bank, run past the PNC Bank, run past the PNC Bank. Must see PNC Bank on way out of 7-Eleven. And I did that the rest of the way. I'm one of those guys who at airports, when I walk into the restroom, when I come out of the restroom, I guarantee you I will walk the wrong way. Away, I will walk away from my gate. My instinct is always wrong. So I really should have learned this a long time ago. Just whatever your instinct is, go the other way. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think the lesson here, just ask Carl. He has learned this right along with me. Just ask Carl. The lesson is that we're on a path, we're on a journey that God has laid out for us. Even when you feel like you're marking time, even when you feel like you're not doing anything, even though you feel like your life has gone through this huge detour, it's all part of it. It's all part of the life that God mapped out for you before the eons. You see, when we keep from being goal-oriented, like over-obsessively, I got to get there. I got to get there. See, I've come full circle. The old way I used to run, like, got to get there. Got to have this big goal. And I changed from that to, like, I'm just going to, this is part of my life. This is part of living. Then, so many possibilities open up. And one of the possibilities is peace. Because you're not in a hurry anymore. You're not fretting because you're not where you think you're supposed to be. You rest in this truth that God knows exactly this path and that you're making progress. Even when I was not knowing where I was logging distance. Every day, you're logging distance. You're going the distance. You're patiently awaiting the return of Christ and the change of your body. And you do look forward to it. It is out there. But it's not out there in so obviously apparent, so in a visible way that will make you just not enjoy where you are. And it won't cause you to be so blind to your surroundings and feel the need to race through this life in order to get there. You don't have to race through this life because it's going to come when it's going to come. It's going to be there. In the meantime, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. As long as you still have faith, and you do, God has given you faith, and that'll be the last thing that goes. In fact, it will never go. Faith is a gift. You'll at least have enough to just get you through another day, even if it's all you have. If all you have is faith, it's good enough. And that faith will tell you, and I'm telling you today, that faith tells you that wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. You're making progress because you're still believing God in spite of your circumstances. So whether you're in the hospital, whether you're sick, whether you're going through a divorce, you're going through any other terrible trial, you feel like you're a failure in life, you haven't done what you wanted to do, you've set out to accomplish so many goals, but you haven't, and you're just going around in circles, you're on the gerbil wheel. No, you're not. You're still going through. You're still walking out that life, and you can't help but do it. You're still walking out that life that God set out for you from before the disruption of the world. Yes. And we are unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. We can't see past the brims on our hats. But God can see it. He has the aerial view. He knows exactly where we are. He's the ultimate GPS. And since he knows where you are, you don't have to know exactly where you are. But you keep believing God. And he will bring us out of this quagmire that we call Eon 3. He will bring us to the goal of glory. And the goal of a place for the eons with Christ at the right hand of God.